and our guests today are Mavic Cabrera from the International Women's Tribune Center. For those of you who have listened to FIRE, oftentimes I don't think I have to say much about Mavic. You have had her on FIRE throughout the last 15 years, both as an activist on women's rights in the Philippines from ISIS Manila for many years. You have also had her on FIRE throughout the last 5 years as the head of the Women's Network of the World Association of Community Radios. You have had her as what are you, executive director? I always call you that, of the International Women's Center. I probably gave her a title that she doesn't have, but she deserves. So I will call her the executive director of the International Women's Tribune Center, and she can undo that if she wants to, or she can keep the credit for what she's doing. So that's Mavic, and Mavic has also brought to us Zelda Soriano, also from the Philippines. So I would like to begin with Mavic bringing the listeners to this place. It's an amazing convention center, huge, full of women all over the place. Before we start with what you do and who you are, bring an international audience that is not here in South Africa right now as close as you can to describing the energy, some of the things that were said this morning and what you feel about being here at this moment. Mavic, it's my honor and my pleasure to have you on FIRE again. And by the way, this is Maria Suarez, FIRE producer.
Thank you so much, Maria, for the instant promotion. And yes, good afternoon to all of our listeners. Magandang hapon, as we say in Filipino. Buenas tardes to all our Latin American friends. And we're doing this interview. Thank you for this great opportunity, Maria, Andrea, and everyone at FIRE. Amidst this amazing gathering of over 2,000 women, where again you feel you're part of the movement and there's really a possibility for change. And yeah, Maria asked me to describe, we're broadcasting here in a corner of the convention center of Cape Town, where we share the space with other feminist communicators. And I'm looking outside. It's a bright, sunny day. The first day we thought it's going to be pouring, but I think the movement is that powerful that even the weather will change if we, you know, if we demand it so. So I leave the introduction here and turn it back to Maria, and then we'll have more substantive discussions on the issues.
I would like you to present Zelda because you know her a lot better than me. I have to warn the listeners that I said to Zelda, Zelda, I'm going to meet you on the air. Yeah. And the audience of FIRE knows that we meet women. We get them on the air without knowing who they are. And we get to meet them on talking on FIRE. And it's really great. But since you know her better than me, why don't you introduce her and I'll pick up from there.
Only Maria can pull it through with this participatory and interactive broadcast. Believe me. Okay, we have with us here a good friend of mine since university days. Her name is Zelda Soriano. She's a lawyer from the Philippines. She's the advocacy officer of the Working Group Women's Global Network on Reproductive Rights, and they're here in the AWID Forum to speak to women's health and sexual and reproductive rights and how those links to other issues that the entire women's movement is concerned about. Zelda is also organizing their or co-organizing regional meetings of their partners among their African members, and really amazing, amazing stories are coming out of this regional conversations that I think Zelda would be happy to share with you.
Hi, good day, everybody. This is Zelda. And actually, I am with some 20, more than 20 representatives from different grassroots organizations working on reproductive and sexual health and rights in different countries in this region, in Africa. And actually, we were just through with a regional meeting. And we linked this meeting to this AWID forum. And after gathering the issues and discussing how we work on these issues in that said regional meeting, we are actually putting forward this agenda as a collective voice in this AWID forum. So it's really a great opportunity for us, yeah, to have a space, you know, to have a space in this global gathering of feminists and activists.
So why don't you use this opportunity to begin telling us what that agenda is. Position it in the media and then get it into the forum.
Okay. If it's in the media context, then there is one really serious issue that really had been extensively discussed there, and it's the problem of communication gaps. Despite the period of internet technology and, you know, all this available state-of-the-art technology, because we are dealing here with grassroots organizations which are village-based, community-based. And I could say that from out of the meeting, around 90% of our member organizations in Africa have claimed that there is a so-called short circuit in communications within the network itself, internal communication, and at the same time in publicly communicating their agenda, their causes, to the other stakeholders. For example, internally, since we engaged in internet-based communications and advocacy and campaigning, meaning we made use of electronic writing and other available web-based tools, well, unfortunately, it is also the same period that we experienced slowing down of communications, both sending and receiving messages, communique from our member organizations and individuals. And some 90%, as I said, of these representatives from the different organizations were sharing us the stories that once a month or once every 2 weeks, they have to go to their centers, capitals, to be able to access their emails. And to do that, they have to pay a lot for an hour, just for 1 hour of accessing their emails. And to avoid paying a lot in accessing their emails, they have to print all what has been piled up in their inboxes otherwise. But either or, they're paying a lot. So there is one reality that is, despite this available internet-based communication tools, we are experiencing a short circuit, and that we find is a serious issue to address. To address as a, not only in the context of us providing the tools or the equipment or the funds, but also putting that issue in the context of their own political struggle, because that is a government responsibility in the first place. That is a state obligation, you know, providing the infrastructure, the communication infrastructure, addressing the poverty of women in the rural areas, in the villages, because this alone cannot be addressed by the network. We are NGOs, civil society, and we have very limited resources. So aside from internally addressing it, it should be put in the political agenda of women's struggles in their own national context. Hey, I'm saying a lot, so please.
Thank you very much.
Control me.
Thank you very much. We are not going to control you. We want you to keep talking. What I would like to address from what listening to you, which is very interesting, is to address also with Mavic, how is it that we have done in the feminist and the women's movement to combine different technologies to be able to tackle the gap that you are talking about. How is it, Mavic, that we have combined the use of community radio, internet technology, written press. At FIRE, we have a slogan which says, connecting voices, technologies, and actions, amplifying women's voices. So let's hear from Mavic about some of the efforts that she knows and she participates in around the world of the combination of community radio, and internet technology to be able to try to bridge that gap in movement building and also in addressing the issues of communication to the larger public. Mavic?
Thank you, Maria. I just came from a meeting where we actually discussed these issues, feminist engagement in information and communication technologies. And it was interesting because one of our colleagues, Anita Gurumurthy from IT for Change, described it in a very concrete way by making an analogy that the feminist communication methodologies or approaches are or could be equated to a dirt track. Whereas the other road that search engines like Google or Alta Vista or the others, a similar search engine, are taking on the information superhighway. But I think the dirt track that the feminist movement has helped create is a lot more diverse, a lot more relevant, a lot more timely in responding to the information and communication needs of local communities that this Google and other information superhighway users are not reaching. So how do we do that? Concretely, some of the approaches or strategies that we use, for example, in my organization, the International Women's Tribune Center, we combine the different information and communication technologies, the internet-based, like webcast, with the more popular or folk media outlets or media tools, like theater, participatory theater, wall news, or even plain community assemblies. Let me cite a very concrete example. When we carried out the broadcast marathon with FIRE in 2005 to mark the anniversary of the of this international law, Resolution 1325 on women, peace, and security, FIRE was broadcasting all of our conversations through the FIRE radio on the internet. And then the IWTC partners on the ground were actually having face-to-face meetings and relaying their conversation over regular phone to FIRE. So that is, I think, a powerful approach to combining the technology to reach both those who already have access to the technologies and those who have limited or no access at all. And I think we only have, you know, we don't need to go too far within our movement to look at these very creative examples in the use of technologies. And I really believe that the technologies are most useful when they are most human, and that is when they connect to the people who really need them most.
Yes, I remember that broadcast that you're talking about that we did with the International Women's Tribune Center for the commemoration of the sixth year of Resolution 1325. Yeah. And the interesting thing about it, for those of you who are listening to us and also what we're talking about, bridging the gap, is that we received emails. I remember one from a journalist in Japan who was listening to the broadcast and was telling us in an email that he was downloading everything that he was hearing and writing a report to publish in his mainstream newspaper in Japanese in his country about what the women in the world were saying about the resolution on peace and security. So it's not only about bridging the communication gap between us, but also to be able to reach out to mainstream media. We also have the experience that the Women's Media Center, by Robin Morgan and Jane Fonda and Gloria Steinem, every time that we have a news from Latin America that we think it is urgent to get to mainstream media in the U.S., we send it to them, and if they post it in their main page, in their website, immediately the following day, we will get a press news release from any newspaper in any of the states that have republished the information and have contributed to what we think is one of the most crucial things about bridging this gap, which is that there are situations happening that women need to break the isolation, that when the rest of the world knows what's happening, like what happened in Nicaragua 2 weeks ago, that the feminists were being persecuted by the government for having defended their rights, and they were to be taken to a court case, and the international pressure was able to stop that for a while, and one of those pressures was that it went to U.S. media through the work that we did using the internet and the community radio and everything. So it really allows for that connection, which is really what I feel oftentimes allows to prevent repressive measures against the movement. Mm-hmm. Although our interest is mainly to be able to connect with each other, but also to connect with a broader public through that. So now I would like to turn into an issue that I have been asking myself. Why is it, or what is it, so crucial at this moment to be gathering in South Africa 2,200 women, which we know is very expensive, it's timely cost? Why is it that the issue of movement building is so crucial in the context today that we have all responded to the call, despite our difficulties, to come here and gather to discuss this issue about movement building? What is so relevant about it in the world today?
Well, from the point of view of women's reproductive rights, I could say that it is the best time, you know, to refresh ourselves with issue analysis. Because by gathering, we find each other talking to one another, getting the real picture, you know, without the interface, without the paper between us, without the screen between us. It is personalizing and absorbing everything. And by heart, by mind, we really get to understand the issues. And then by then, we can also produce creatively the ideas, solutions, suggestions in our heads. Also by sharing these thoughts with other women, with other feminists. So it's the idea of removing for a time, for a certain period of time, the interfaces, the screens, the papers, refreshing ourselves by understanding, talking to one another of the real issues, and then gathering our strength. You know, by only seeing these women, you are refreshed, you re-energized. And despite the diversity of in every ways, language, colors, races, geographical boundaries, etc., you feel you are one again, and that you gather your strength from there. And then you become more creative in any problem that you are being confronted. That's one thing for me.
I think on a regular basis, any movement needs to find a space to talk to each other, to dialogue with each other, to find a space to reflect, and as Zelda was saying, to build on each other's strengths, to build on each other's expertise, to share each other's strategies and experiences. But I think all the more that we need it now, all the more that we need it now, because in a world where there's non-stoppable globalization, let's admit it, it's going to be there, and it's going to be there forever, where we have states that are becoming less and less powerful, where you have corporations that are becoming more powerful than the states, but yet with no accountability are the only balancing factor there, or the only factor that could counter that lack of accountability is the power of movement. And we need that more and more. And I remember, yeah, just to situate our listeners again to what we have been discussing here in the forum, in this morning's plenary, we were looking at what have been the gains of our movement. And one of the gains that was pointed out by one of our colleagues, Muthoni Wanyeki, who's also a colleague in the community radio movement, is that one of our outstanding gains is legal, the achievements of legal rights. And we have, and she was citing the experience here in Africa with the African Protocol on Women's Human Rights, with the Solemn Declaration on Gender Equality, both very powerful instruments adopted by the African Union. But unfortunately, these policies, these legal rights, remain on paper. They are not translated into, you know, expressions, into assertion of the rights of women. So I think this forum and conversations like this allow us to look at what we can do collectively in terms of defining our strategies so that our gains in terms of legal rights would translate into real gains that would make a difference to the lives of women.
Thank you very much. Definitely a good insight for a panel that I will be moderating tomorrow by the Global Fund for Women about this issue, about the importance of movement building right now. So thank you very much.